Dalet Chalamoid, Chof Nissen, 24th of April, Rabbi David Kohn, the relevance of Hilchas Pesach through all the year round.
Good Moed. The title of the Shir, the relevance of Hilchas Pesach to Kashrus all year round. We normally think of Pesach full of its dinim, its chumras, more chomor than all year round. Particularly the din of chometz itself, that chometz, before it is considered ois chometz, before it's considered no longer chometz, it has to be einu roi l'achilas kelev. Whereas kashrus all year round, we think that things are easier, things are lighter, things are more kuladik. The interesting thing is that a lot of dinim of kashrus all year round are learnt Dafka, specifically from Hilchas Pesach, from the dinim of chometz and se'or. What do we mean by chometz and se'or? It's interesting, in the Torah there are two separate isurim, chometz and se'or. Read out a couple of psukim from the Torah, from Parshas Bo. Ki kol oichel chometz v'nichrasa nefesh shehim Yisrael. That's Parshas Bo and Perikut Beis, Posuk Tezvov. In Pasuk Yutes, ki kol oichel machmetzes, v'nichrasa nefesh shehim Yisrael. That's as far as achil is concerned, two separate psukim. One for chometz and one for se'or. The inyan, as far as keeping chometz, which is nageh to bal yiroi, bal yimotzi, you mustn't possess chometz on Pesach. The pasuk in the same pasuk, v'lo yiroi lecha chometz, v'lo yiroi lecha se'or b'chol gevulecha. Two separate lo yiroi lecha v'lo yiroi lecha. Two separate isurim. What does this mean? What does this come to tell us? So there's a Gemara in a Mishnah in Beitza, where there's a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. How much chometz? What is the shear for chometz to be over lov? And the Mishnah doesn't tell you what. Achila or keeping? Beis Hillel say a kezayis, and Beis Shammai say a chesevis. So the Gemara asks, why do you need both? Why do you need two separate Isurim in the Torah? Says the Gemara of Tzvicha, as well as telling the Issa of Chometz, you also see Issa of Seir. What is Seir? Seir is dough that's gone bad, that's fermented. Yes, it's fermented. And what was Seir used for? It was used for catalyzing the next dough. Nowadays we use yeast, but the yeast we use nowadays is not chometz. The yeast we use nowadays is, it's a fungus. It's something that grows on beer. So it could be shayla of chometz as far as that's concerned. But often it grows on wine. In which case there's a yai nesach shayla, stam yeinon shayla. But the se'or of the Gemara is sourdough. That's what se'or is. So the Gemara says, v'tzricha, you need two separate yisurim, even though se'er is also dough. It's also dough that has risen. Says the Gemara, what do you need them both for? Says the Gemara, because v'tzricha, aval se'er, says the Gemara, she'ein roi l'achila, eim aloi, I might have said it's not roi l'achila, and therefore, I'm not over. Se'er is not a problem, because it's already past. It's gone bad. It's already fermented to the extent that I can't eat it. It's not roi l'achilas odom, though the Gemara doesn't say what it's not roi, whether it's not roi l'achilas odom, or whether it's not roi l'achilas kelev, that the Gemara doesn't say. But what the Gemara in Avodah Zorah says, clearly, the Gemara says about kashrus all year, tesanya. Lo yiseichu kol nevela, you mustn't eat any nevela, lager shebisharecha, kol haru'uyo lager, kuruyo nevela, She'ein ru'uya l'ger eino kroy nevela. So the Gemara says clearly, if you have a piece of chazafresh and it's gone bad, it's no longer good, it's been left out of the fridge, when it gets to the stage where it's no longer ro'uy l'achilas ger, why just a ger? Because we're talking about nevela. But it really means when it's no longer ro'uy l'achilas odom, when a human is no longer able to eat it, at that stage, Ein akruy nevela, it's not called a nevela. What does it mean it's not called a nevela? So you call it something else. What does it mean? Rashi says, she'ein akruy lager, she'hisricha, it's gone bad. Alma, says Rashi, from here we learn, mid'afkim, once trefa food is pogum, is spoilt, says Rashi, bottle is sura, the issa is gone. And once something becomes, we can't eat it anymore, it's no longer trefa. The issa of macholas asuros leaves it. And the Gemara goes on, in Daf Samaches Matalaf in Avodah Zarah, that's where this Gemara is, and the Gemara asks, but why is it that we find with Se'or that the din isn't like that? So the Gemara understands that Se'or and Macholos Asuras is Hainuhach. The dinim of Pesach fit into the big picture of Kashrus all year round as well. So the Gemara says, but yet the Gemara quotes a brisa, where the brisa seems to make a difference, the Se'or is different. So the Gemara says, why is that? Omer Abzeira, Shani Issa, a dough which has fermented is different. Since you can use it to set off, to catalyze, to make, ferment, yes, other doughs. Rashi explains it clearer. Rashi says, Hilkoch, therefore, chimutz, once something has fermented, specifically dough, de yoisa midai, he says, it's too fermented to eat. Afa pishu begamhu le'inyan achilos isazu, even though this dough has been spoilt, to eat this dough as it is, nonetheless, shevachhu le'inyan chimua isasachirus, it is considered that it has been improved with respect to being able to use this fermented dough. I take this whole dough, and I put a little bit in this dough, a little bit in that dough, a little bit in the other dough, and all the doughs can rise. So therefore, we see a chiddush here. The chiddush of Se'or is, and it's learnt as a chiddush l'chol ha'teira kula, if I take something that was trefa, and I leave it to go bad, it itself, if it's not roi l'achila anymore, l'achilas odom, then it's ois issa. The issa's gone. Rashi says, botel issura. The issa has disappeared, evaporated. Whereas, but it can still be the same situation, says the Gemara, and equates chometz to shai surim, that if it's gone bad, but to the extent where it is useful, I can use it for something else. I could put it in other doughs. I can use it as an ingredient, which will be beneficial because of its fermentation, because it's fermented, it will ferment the next dough, then it retains its issa, not because it can be eaten by itself, but because it is a useful ingredient for something else. And that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is talking about kashrus all year round, makes no special fuss of chometz, because it's a din of Pesach, nothing else, it is a din, a limud that we learn, l'chol ha'teira kula. Let's have a look. Go to Gemara in Brochus, where the Gemara seems to be talking about something which is entirely innocent and nothing to do with kashrus at all. But we'll see the Rishonim say very much that this is an important marimokim for kashrus. The Gemara in Brochus, and the Gemara is talking about making a brocha, boire mine besomim, boire atse besomim, what brocha to make on various sweet smelling items. Omer of Chista, Omer Rav, Amri Lo, Omer of Chista, Omer Zeiri, Gemara in Brochus, Taf Mem Gimel Omer Dalef. Kol ha-mugmorois, mevorichim aleim, boirei atzei besomim. Mugma is something that was often put into the fire, it was an incense, it was put into the fire, and when it burnt, it gave off a good smell. Says the Gemara, kol ha-mugmorois, mevorichim aleim, boirei atzei besomim, because they are the bark, or the wood, of whatever tree they are from. So the brocha is bari atzei besomim. Chutz, apart from something called mimusuk. What is musuk? Says the Gemara, shemin chayohu. It is a type of animal, a type of wild animal. Shemavorchim olav, you make the brocha bari minei besomim, which is the generic brocha for something which doesn't have a specific brocha. So it's bari minei besomim. What is this musuk? What is it? So, without giving the game away, for half a moment, there's a big machlokes rishonim about it. But Rabbeinu Yonah will start off. Rabbeinu Yonah says, he brings, some say it's this, some say it's the other, but says Rabbeinu Yonah, he says, V'hanochen Yoseh. You can have a look at it there. He says, V'hanochen Yoseh. When he's finished, he says, what I think is the most correct pshat is, Shechayo Yoduahi. It is a known wild animal. V'yeshlo chatoteres, but savar. It's got some type of a gland in its neck. Uleshom miskapsim betchilo kein dam. What happens is that blood gathers in that gland, kein dam, something like blood. It becomes musuk, as probably we say in English, musk. Musk is something that is used in perfumes. It is used as, and what is it? It comes from, if you look up in encyclopedia, they'll tell you that musk comes from the glands of a particular deer, of a musk deer. It's a deer, minchayo. It's a type of a deer which has this process where it uses some of its blood to make it into musk. Now, so far, it's got nothing to do with kashrus at all. But the question, the trouble is, they used to use this in food. Parts of something, you put ingredients in food, sometimes you put it in for taste, sometimes you put it in to give an aroma to the food. And musk is still today used as an ingredient to give, when you eat something, part of its taste is the smell that it has. So therefore, those who really understand and how to make food well, understand that musk is an important ingredient. Is it kosher? This is a discussion. And the Rosh brings the following. Vahu, he says, Oime ala mugma, he brings the Gemara, Omar Rabbo, he says, Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah, and he says, all the mugmoris, you make the brocha, he tells you when to make it, once the smoke comes up. Omar Rav Chista, Rav Chista said, ala mugmoris, kulam avorchim alein bori atzi v'somim, chutz mi musuk, apart from this, musk, as we say in English, demin chayohi, shemavorchim alov, boire minei b'somim. Yesh oimrim, some say he brings, shem musuk, hu zeas chayo. It comes from the gland, it comes from the perspiration, the collected sweat of this chayo. V'nochen yoise, shechayo yoduahi, sheyesh boi chatoi teres, betzavori, kotsa ben yoino, umiskabit shom tchilakein dam, v'nase musk. And that's what he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. There he brings the Haruzoa Levi, the Balamor, Hoyo Oise Leochloi Mipnei Chashash Dam. Here's the first time they used to aster it because of a chashash. Maybe this is blood. For Rav Rabbeinu Yonah Zal, Pirush, De Ef Shalitain Boitam Lehatir, there's a reason to say it's Mutter, Veloima, De Pirusha Be'almahu. It's no longer blood. It's now become something which is merely, it is something of an extraction of something. It's become something else. It was blood. It's now been transformed into something which is peresh, which is merely something which is of no use at all. Afa pisha mitchilo hoyodam, once upon a time, historically it was blood. Loi chayshinan lehochi, we're not worried about it. Deboso hashto azlinon, because we decide what the din of any edible substance is depending on what it is now. Shehari, sorry? Oh, we're going to come to this. We're going to come to milk. We're going to come to what happens to a chick. An egg goes to a chick as it goes along. Excellent. So, but the proof that Rabbeinu Yonah brings is from another shaila that actually someone asked me last Rosh Hashanah. Shehari hadvash. Not quite this. Somebody came to me on Rosh Hashanah night and said to me, a guest has brought us from the Far East, has brought us some natural bee's honey. And this guest has mentioned, by the way, don't worry about it, but you might find some bee's legs. Not just you might, but you will find bee's legs in it, because that's the way they make it. So he came over to me, is there a problem with this honey? So I must say, I wasn't able to tell him on the spot. I wanted to look it up. And I told him, terribly sorry, but they're waiting for me at home. I'm going to have to sit down and look at it. Don't, you've got other honey? Don't use that tonight. We'll discuss it. And I went into it. So the Rosh says, brings Rabbeinu Yonah, Shadvash, Imnofobo, Chaticho, Shel Issa, never mind legs. if a piece of chazaflesh falls into dvash, apparently what happens to it is that dvash has honey, has a physical characteristic or a chemical characteristic or biological characteristic that is able, it breaks down whatever's in it, it breaks it down and dissolves it such that it disappears and becomes part of the dvash itself. Since anything that's in it becomes dvash eventually, we give it the din of dvash, umuta, says Rabbeinu Yonah, hochanami, the same is true. Afa bishem itchilo hayodam, even though in the first place it was blood, kiven deyotza mitayras dam, boso hashlas linon, it's no longer blood, it's now musak, therefore we look at it, bashem shon, as it is, afa bishem itchilo hayodam, even though it tastes very nice, and it has a positive contributory, a flavour to give to the dish. The nira, says the Rosh, do afilu rayosoi tzricho raya. Even the raya it brings, so the Rosh says, I'm not happy with this Rabbeinu Yonah. I share the concerns of the Balamoya, both when it comes to the musuk and when it comes to the dvash. If there was a story where the dvash had some chaza, had some trefa meat inside, even though it's now gone, dissolved as part of the honey, if there's not going to be shishim in the honey, I'm worried that this dvash should be osa. By the way, as an interesting point, the Rosh in Shuvus was asked a Pesach Shaila. And the Pesach Shaila was the following, a short tshuva. Dvash be Pesach. Someone asked him, do you need a hechsher for honey on Pesach? Why? What's the chashash? I've never seen anyone worry about what could be wrong with bees honey. Mishum chashosha de iruv kemach. The person who asked said, he's worried, maybe, do we have to be chashish? Maybe they've mixed flour into the honey. De lo shchicha. The Rosh says, that's not something that happens often. Vegam nisbatal koidem Pesach, even if it did, it would be a small amount and would be bottled before Pesach. Vegim bonu lesa dvash, mishum chashash taroves. We should say that honey needs a hechsher all year round. Because some say that they put purposely, it makes the honey taste nicer, they put meat into it, trefa meat, and it turns into honey. Now, who does the Rosh quote? For Rabbeinu Yonah Kosov, Shafilu noisin boi b'sal nevelo kivin shinimoich v'nishapich v'dvash muta, the bosa hashto azvinim v'shori. So the Rosh himself, although he said he's not sure about it, afilu rayosat soch raya, but the Rosh in Shuvus quotes Rabbeinu Yonah and uses it as a svek sveka l'chol hapochus. Maybe Rabbeinu Yonah's right, because even the Balamoid, you notice, just says there's a chashash, he's worried about it. He doesn't say that Rabbeinu Yonah is definitely wrong. He says that he's worried about it. Plus, says the Rosh, you've got a sophic, who says they put flour in there at all? Therefore the Rosh says, therefore, I'm not even worried about Pesach. Nowadays, by the way, I'll just add, nowadays, it's a whole different story, because the chemical processes, or the whole preparation processes of preparing food, where there's all different things prepared on similar conveyor belts, using similar commercial utensils, etc., the reason why we are more careful with these things to make sure they have a hechsher, and therefore people do buy things only with a hechsher, possibly even honey as well with a hechsher, is because these things will undergo purification processes, and maybe they would have purified oils or fats on the same process. One just has to know what's going on in the various production places. But the Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Yonah and says that this is something is that although he says a sophic, but he's prepared to rely on Rabbeinu Yonah in the case of a sophic. Basically, what we have over here is very important. This machlokes between Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rosh is what happens, and this is very relevant to kashrus all year round. You start off with an entity which is trefa, and it becomes something else. You take trefa, you take fat, and you make it into glycerin. These processes use often hydrochloric, sulfuric acids, very, very powerful acids, which make the thing completely einaroi lachila in the middle, but the beginning is its trefa, which is roi lachila. In the end, it becomes something new. Something new, should we call it ponim chadoshes bolukam? Something completely new, a new entity. And the question is this, does it carry with it the issa that it once had? Or does it not carry with it the issa that it once had? According to Rabbeinu Yoino, for example, let's use the case of fat and glycerin. Glycerin is something completely new. It bears no relation to the fat that it starts off with. It doesn't look like it. In no way is it like it. It's undergone a very serious chemical process. Also, taking fat and making soap is another example. Does soap need a hechsher? It's become something very different altogether. According to Rabbeinu Yoino, it wouldn't need. There'd be no problem at all. According to the Rosh would say, but wait a minute, so what if it's changed? But you've got to remember, where did it come from? The source of the Issa, the source of what you have now, is definitely Osa. And the Rosh has said, even if it changes completely from Dam to Musuk, nonetheless, says the Rosh, it retains its Issa. Even though the meat has completely broken down, dissolved, and be broken down inside the Tavash, and it's all now honey, you look at it, it's clear as honey, you can't see any meat there. The Rosh says, "Rayosat Soch Raya," that the Rosh isn't so happy with it at all that we should say it's mutter. Let's take a couple of examples of things that are mentioned in the Gemara, and we'll see. We'll come back to Se'o to use our chometz and our Se'o to be able to give some clarity to how the halacha, what the din is. There are two things. One is mentioned quite clearly. The Gemara says, "Dam." Blood, nasis cholov, becomes milk. We all know that dam of an animal is osa, but yet the cholov of an animal is mutter. Now, this the Mogen Avraham brings as a question, in Siman Reish Tes Zayin, it brings as a question against Rabbeinu Yoino. How can Rabbeinu Yoino say that the musik is mutter? Because it, even though it originated from blood, but bossa hashtas lean on. If so, why did the Torah need to tell or give us a special limud, as the Gemara brings, to be matir dam, because it comes from matir cholov, because it comes from dam? You should say it's a completely new entity. It was dam. It's now cholov. Bosa hashtaz linon. So the Mogen Avraham leaves that one point as a question against Rabbeinu Yoino, and the other question he leaves is a Gemara in Tzumura, where the Gemara talks about a beitza of trefa. So you have a hen. The hen is a trefa. It's not going to live for 12 months. It is a trefa. And now what happens is that this trefa lays an egg. The din is kol hayotzei min hatomei is tomei, kol hayotzei min hatrefa is trefa. So definitely there's no question about it. This egg, although it's from a min tohor, but this egg is trefa, just like the mother is. But if you leave this egg, and you leave it under the mother, and this egg is a fertilized egg, and it develops into a chick, the din is that the chick itself is mutter. The chick is mutter. The Gemara says the following. He says, "Kol kama de lo misrach lo govil, upe idna de ko govil afra bialmuhu." The Gemara explains, why is the chick mutter when the egg was osa? What about the rule that we have, the klal, that's kol hayotzei min hatrefa trefa? Why is it that this chick is now mutter, even though the source of the chick is definitely trefa? So the Gemara says, "Upe idna de ko govil afra bialmuhu." When it, in order to become a chick, it first had to go bad. It was a good egg that a goy could have enjoyed. It certainly would have something that was tasty. And then what happened is the mother sat on the egg, and after a certain amount of time, the egg goes bad. From a bad egg, out comes a chick. So that's what the Gemara says. Along comes the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish asks, and he says, he doesn't understand. He says, when it comes to se'or, it comes to sourdough, dough that's fermented. So the Chazon Ish says, the Gemara says, even though it's no good, even though the dough is no longer royal achilas odom, and according to the Tosefta, it's even ein royal achilas kelev, nonetheless, the Torah explicitly asked it. The Chazanish doesn't answer and say the so is a special din legabe Pesach. Not the Chazanish, not the Achiezer, not many others as well. They take on that so is a limud that we can learn the Chol HaTorah Kula. The Chazanish asks even more. He says, what about kemach? Take flour. You can't eat flour as it is. It's inedible. Take, he says, another example, he says, when you take something, take this efreach, this chick, which has gone bad, efreach, well, when it's an egg, he says, you can't use it at all. So what's the difference? Why is it that we say that when it comes to flour, when it comes to so'or, these things, both of these, are forbidden, even though it goes from wheat, and then you grind it down to flour, it's inedible at that stage. And then from then, what happens is, it goes further and it becomes something good. Why don't we say, in the same way as the chick was a perfectly edible egg, but it was trefa, and then what happened is that it went bad, and from that badness, should we call it, then out grew this chick, and the Gemara said, therefore the chick's mutter. So you say the same should be true. The so was Eino Roi Lachilas Odol, maybe even Eino Roi Lachilas Kelev. And certainly the Kemach is something that you can't eat it. You can't eat the flour. It's dangerous. You couldn't eat it. Not you and not the dog. And therefore, the thing, why is it then, if you take wheat, which had come in contact with water, you grind it down to flour, it's now inedible, you now make a loaf of bread out of it, why is that considered chometz? So the Chazanish answers, and he makes the chiluk between what is bidei odom, what you can sort out. You take flour, it's perfectly good flour, the flour is perfectly good. You take the flour, you mix it with the water, you make it into a dough, then you bake it, you pop it into the oven, it's perfectly good. There's nothing wrong with the flour. In its state, basher husham, you can't use it, you can't eat it, but it's perfectly useful. Says the Chazanish, that's the yesod of se'or. The yesod of se'or is if you take something which is, at the moment, it is inedible on its own, but it is useful. In the kitchen, it has a use. What will you use it for? Not for eating, not for taking a spoonful of it. You'll take a spoonful, not pop it into your mouth, but you'll take a spoonful and you'll pop it into the next dough. It's something which is useful in the realms of food. And therefore, says the Chazanish, whereas, when it comes to the Efreach, there's nothing we can do about it. This chick has gone bad, this egg has gone bad. We have no control over it whatsoever. It's totally on the Ribbono Shel Olam to take something which is completely bad and to make rikum, as rikum atzom is, to build out of it a chick. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, but it's completely out of our hands. Says the Chazanish, when something is in our control and it has the possibility, not just that, but it's made, the purpose of grinding wheat into flour is in order to make bread out of it. The purpose of allowing this, the purpose of allowing this dough to go to ferment is because otherwise you won't be able to make the next all the other doughs that you want to make. Therefore, that's considered, it retains its issa. Whereas when something goes bad and we're totally on the Ribbono Shel Olam, so then to build Yesh Me'ayim, so to speak, that is something that the issa disappears and it's something new altogether. Says the Chazanish, therefore, when you come back to the Musuk, which has come out of blood, when you come back to other kashrus questions, possibly, when you come to fat that was made into glycerin and other things like it, so he says, the question is the following. If in the meantime, it goes down a level that it's no longer roi l'achila, you can't eat it at all, in that case, it becomes completely ruined and spoilt. In that case, says the Chazanish, everyone agrees, both the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yonah will agree that it's like the chick, that it's going to be mutter. Once it reaches the stage of Afra Bialma, as the Gemara calls it, once it reaches the stage of Afra, then if you even, says the Chazanish, and this isn't agreed to, this the Achiezer disagrees, but the Chazanish says, even if it's we who build out of it something that's perfectly good to use, says the Chazanish, it's reached the stage where it's Afra Bialma, Botla Isura, the Issa goes. Whereas, if you reach the you don't reach that stage, but it just changes from one entity to another, from one food to another, without going through an inedible stage, that's the machlokas between Rabbeinu Yona and the Rosh, and that remains a sophic. That remains a sophic, which la halacha lemaisa we're choshes certainly for the opinion of the Baal HaMoed and the opinion of the Rosh. And so we see from here, just to conclude, because we've run out of time, we'll conclude the following, that this din that we learn about chometz and about s'oil, roi l'achilas kelev, eina roi l'achilas kelev, is something that carries weight and teaches us hilchas kashrus, not just for Pesach, but for all year round. It has serious ramifications when you have something of kashrus, something of issa, that reaches a stage where it's eina roi l'achila, it can't be used. At that stage we say that if it is something that we have made, and it's something that we can bring back to being something useful, in such a case, there's a shaila lahalocha, whether it's going to lose its issa on the way, or whether it retains its issa. Whereas, if it's something that, so to speak, the Ribbono Shel'olam has done, and it's something out of our control, that is something which, l'kuli alma, is something which has lost its issa, and we say, ponim chadoshus, bo'lekam. Chazanish just mentions and says that he talks about chemical reactions where you take molecules, and in a chemical reaction what happens is that the molecules break down into individual atoms and they pair up with other atoms to make something completely new altogether. Like, for example, when you make soap, the fat atoms break down and the molecules break down and then they combine with the caustic soda to form something completely new altogether. In that case, as the Chazanish, that is certainly ponim chadosh tekan, and something completely new. And I'll just end by mentioning that the Maharil in Yehudeh, who asses zayf loig, he mentions that if you have a look in the Darkei Tshuva, the Achronim say that once upon a time soap was completely different to our soap. It was really fat with ingredients added. It wasn't the soap that we've got nowadays, which has gone through a complete and rigorous chemical change to become something completely new altogether. Good night.